Welcome to Boston Confidential, Beantown's true crime podcast. Boston is a great city, but there's more to it than the Freedom Trail and Fenway Park. There's a startling underbelly to the city, and Boston Confidential will take you on a guided tour of the dark side of the Athens of America, Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Boston Confidential. My name's Barry McGuire, and I'm your host. I'm a 20-year private investigator on the streets of Boston, and I help run a company called Impact Due Diligence Investigations. If you need anything in terms of investigative services, feel free to contact me at Impact. If I can't help you personally, I'll certainly direct you to the right person or agency. All right, guys, welcome back to Boston Confidential. Got a tough case for you this week. It's the case of Jeremiah Oliver from 2013 and on. This case comes to us via Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Now, Fitchburg is located almost in the center of Massachusetts, I guess. It is west of Worcester, Massachusetts. It's a former mill town, and it's definitely seen better days. I describe Fitchburg as being hardscrabble. There is a college in Fitchburg, Fitchburg State. It's in the Massachusetts University system. And it's a decent school. A lot of people work there. A lot of residents of Fitchburg do work at the university. There's not much else around there in terms of industry. And as you get outside of Fitchburg, I'd say the economic conditions actually worsen. Fitchburg is, I think it's listed as a town, but it feels like more of a city. And Fitchburg has city-level problems. There's a lot of poverty when you get out to Western Massachusetts, and Fitchburg isn't exempt from that. Like I said previously, as you get out to the communities even further west of Fitchburg, Athol, Orange, there's a lot of welfare recipients, people in need, and families in crisis. And this is the whole area. I believe it's still Worcester County, but it's like northwest Worcester County. Okay, so it's 2013 in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and Jeremiah Oliver is a precocious five-year-old child. He's living with, there's at least two other siblings, but there may be more. The family picture in this case is kind of difficult to ascertain, but Jeremiah was a beautiful little boy, short hair, big ears. I think that would have taken him a few years to grow into those ears. You know, these beautiful teeth, these chiclet-like teeth that kids have. And just looking at pictures of him, he seems like he'd be fun to be around, you know? Good kid. So Jeremiah and his family were living on Kimball Street in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. The mother, Elsa Oliver, she was age 28. And the live-in boyfriend of Elsa, Alberto Sierra, 22, headed the household. I don't know if Alberto was the father of any of these kids or all those kids were Oliver's. Again, the family dynamic is difficult at best here, but there were several kids in there, at least two that I know of, because two of those kids had made disclosures against the parents for abuse. So there were several siblings along with Jeremiah in the house, but we're going to fast forward to May 10th, 2013, one of the male children in the house discloses to somebody, I believe at school, that before and after school, his mother had struck him with a belt on his back, legs, and feet. And this had happened that morning before school. The school nurse intervened and did see signs of abuse on the child. The back was still red, and there were some other minor signs of abuse. The school nurse is a mandated reporter under Massachusetts child protection laws, and she did file a notification with DCF, Department of Children and Families. It's the state of Massachusetts Department of Family Services. And she did file what's called a 51A. And I believe there were previous ones, but this brought the abuse to the attention of Massachusetts DCF authorities. At a certain point shortly thereafter, after this May 10th, 2013 complaint against the Oliver family, a DCF worker did go to the apartment and interviewed the family. And I believe she reported, at least somebody from DCF eventually reported, that there were ongoing abuse issues. The house was in disarray and there was possible drug use among the parents. Okay, so that complaint was filed in May 10th, 2013. And that was filed by a male sibling of Jeremiah's. And in December 2013, this is really what just set this case in motion. Jeremiah's sister, 7-year-old sister, reports at school to an unnamed authority that their mother's live-in boyfriend, Alberta Sierra, was abusing the children, beating them to the point where one of her siblings apparently has lost a portion of or the majority of his pinky finger. And the 7-year-old female child also reported that she hadn't seen her brother Jeremiah for weeks and weeks. The school authorities sent this along to DCF, and now alarm bells start to go off. So the Department of Children and Families informs the Fitchburg police of what this child is reporting, and the Detective Bureau of the Fitchburg Police becomes involved, and they go to the house and they begin their investigation. And at this point, they learn that it is now May 2013, and nobody has seen Jeremiah Oliver, age 5, since September 2013. Can you believe that? So at that point, it's been a little over 4 months, and neither mother Elsa Oliver or the purported dad or live-in boyfriend Alberto Sierra reported this child missing. It's not Sierra's kid, so I place most of that blame on Elsa Oliver, right? Where is your 5-year-old boy, and you don't call the police? So Fitchburg police kicked us into high gear, and I think they elevate their level of questioning of these two Jamokes. It comes out in the next few days that the police described their level of cooperation as absolutely uncooperative. The Worcester County District Attorney's Office issued a press release on December 13th, 2013, stating that Jeremiah Oliver of Kimball Street, age 5, is missing and has been missing for months. And now the media gets involved. And when I tell you this was a rolling ball of reporters, every reporter in Massachusetts seemed like they were in Fitchburg Center broadcasting from their beautiful town common. It seemed like everybody in Massachusetts wanted to know, how does a mother not report her child missing? How does a live-in boyfriend come home at night for 4 months, put his feet up on the sofa and relax while that kid's missing? What's going on here? I think the Fitchburg police had a better idea of actually what was going on, but the media was getting up to speed pretty quickly. They were interviewing people all around the family, and it simply wasn't looking good for them. Not only was it beginning to go badly for the family, but it was beginning to go badly for the DCF, because one of the DCF workers that was charged with going to the Oliver household during one of these complaints in 2013 stated that she had observed Jeremiah there. And I think what transpired was she stated she saw him around this time that he was missing, so she was lying. And it came to light that DCF was doing this pretty frequently to cover their ass. They're just understaffed, undermanned. But in this case, she said she had a visit with this family and did not. And Jeremiah Oliver was missing at the same time. So now the gig is up and they start going back and it's looking worse and worse for DCF. It came out in the newspapers that a file was actually opened for the first time in 2011 on this family. There was allegations of severe abuse, opioid abuse in the household by the adults, and just deplorable living conditions for these children. I think we all know people like this or hear of it. They just, again, child after child, welfare check after welfare check, can't get out of their own way, refuse to get out of their own way, drug dependency, alcoholism, filthy homes. It's kind of like the Bella Bond case, but this was actually 2013, and the Bond case wouldn't happen until 2015. So it's a bad couple of years for the DCF, and I'll have more on that in just a little bit. So the police investigation is ramping up, but I think they're starting to get pissed off a little bit with mom and so-called dad. December 16, 2013, the Fitchburg police, and I believe the state police were involved too because this is a potential homicide or a likely homicide, arrest Elsa in Alberto. These two knuckleheads weren't charged with murder, but they were charged with kidnapping, child abuse. I believe Elsa was also charged with abusing her other children, as was Alberto. So it's a host of charges, but it's not murder. They have enough to maybe prove kidnapping and assault and battery and all this, but murder is the big one. They have to hold that in reserve, and they're going to charge that specifically when they have more evidence. But they had enough to charge and hold them for right now, and that's what they did. I believe they were taken into custody from the Kimball Ave or Kimball Street apartment where they had resided with Jeremiah. And Elsa, I believe, underwent a physical examination. And at a certain point, they come up with a new tattoo. In almost stereotypical fashion, Elsa had a tattoo done on her that stated the date September 25th, 2013, along with a butterfly. So somehow the date was around this butterfly or ensconced in with the butterfly and all this. But the police determined that was new artwork. Keep in mind that Jeremiah was last seen, verifiably last seen, September 14th, 2013. So it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure out that the police believe that this new tattoo has Jeremiah's date of death, September 25th, 2013, on her arm with a butterfly. He flew away to heaven. How beautiful. You couldn't even report it to the police. But I believe that's what they were thinking with this. And on December 24th, 2013, the police put out a bulletin to local tattoo artists asking if anybody remembers doing this tattoo to Elsa. I don't know if they ever got any response to that inquiry, but they've held the majority of this information very tight to the vest during this investigation. Elsa wanted to post bail on the charges she had been arrested. And the judge, the criminal court judge, says, yes, she can be released on $100,000 bail if she wears a tracking bracelet and resolves a contempt charge in juvenile court. Juvenile court had produced a habeas corpus, basically produced the body. They wanted to see Jeremiah Oliver in court. They were worried about him, and they had a contempt charge filed against Elsa, demanding that she literally produce the body. She elected not to, and she stayed in prison. It was around this time that it began to leak out to the press just how literally uncooperative Alberto Sierra and mom Elsa Oliver were being. They would not provide a timeline. They would not provide consent to search. The search went ahead anyways. They got a warrant, but all these things, your five-year-old's missing and you don't want to talk to the police. What the hell's going on here? I know some of my attorney friends listen to this show and they'd say, Barry, I'm a criminal defense attorney. My first advice and condition of taking this case would be that my client never speaks to the press and stops speaking to the police immediately. And I do understand that. But being a father first, I look at this and I say, there's a missing five-year-old and I have nothing to do with it. I'll give you everything you want. Just get looking for this kid. Don't forget, it's December now. This kid is still missing. They still won't provide the police with a timeline as to what really happened here. This kid is still missing at this point. So around this time, the media attention ramps up into political activism. Governor Deval Patrick served as our governor at the time, and the political pressure for him to do something for DCF was just immense. There had been several stories in all the papers about just how awful this bureaucracy is. DCF ultimately fired one social worker, and I believe that was the social worker who lied about her visit that was said to have occurred when Jeremiah Oliver was actually missing. And that social worker's direct supervisor, because she should have known about what was going on. And that's how they had, and they were hoping this would go away. It was not going away. So as 2013 drew to a close, December 30th, Jeremiah Oliver's real dad was arrested in Connecticut for selling heroin to an undercover police officer. And at this time, he was getting bail. I guess he's interviewed coming out, and he's going to be a hero. He's getting out from this distribution of heroin charge, and he's going to storm up to Massachusetts and take care of this case, this Oliver case of his son. He's going to find his son. He's still missing. He's going to be a real hero. But this real hero hadn't seen his own son ever. And his other kids, I guess he's never seen them. He's in and out. So this character, I'm not even going to give you his real name. He's almost stereotypical in this story, so you'd probably have to fit him in somewhere. But he was coming back to Massachusetts to make all this right. Don't know whatever happened. I saw no mention of this guy ever again. So he's probably back in the ether, back in Connecticut. So as 2014 gets underway, the Worcester County DA's office announced that the Fitchburg Police and Fire Department are searching the Nashua River in Fitchburg looking for Jeremiah Oliver. There was some digging around the banks as well, but they never found a body and they never reported finding any evidence. So when Elsa Oliver was arrested, she was sent for a mental health evaluation. And on January 24th, 2014, that came back. She was competent to stand trial and she was going to do so pretty soon, probably later in that year. So the police hadn't been sitting on their hands during this portion of the investigation. They were on a trail and the trail led them to Christian Sierra, age 21. He was Alberta Sierra's little brother. And I believe he was romantically involved with Callie Deball, 23, that was Christian's girlfriend, and Ashley Cormier. They all formed this social circle with Alberto and Elsa. So what these three were charged with, they were arraigned on charges of intimidating a witness. I believe there was other associated charges for this portion of the investigation. But basically what the police were saying that they were doing is they're all trying to get a story straight. They're all trying to help the adults in this case. Not one of them could have ever helped the kids, Jeremiah or his brothers and sisters. But they're all conspiring now to get one story straight and push one over the other. And it's just sickening. And I'm glad they were charged here. But I think the police were getting desperate because Elsa and Alberto Sierra were not breaking. They thought one would flip and testify on the other. And that wasn't happening. On March 21st, 2014, both Alberto and Elsa were indicted by a Worcester County grand jury for the charges related to the abuse of Jeremiah Oliver. Almost simultaneously in the news, the DCF was getting ripped apart. I believe by this point in the investigation, they had three or four employees either be fired or resign. And the press was calling for the resignation of the head of the organization, but she stood fast and stated she wasn't going to quit, and she was backed up by Governor Deval Patrick. The police continued to search for Jeremiah Oliver, but they were hampered by the family. They had all clamped down, they had all lawyered up, and nobody was speaking. But on April 18th, the body of Jeremiah Oliver, age 5, was found in a suitcase located off of Route 190 in Sterling, Massachusetts. That is probably about 15 or 20 minutes from Fitchburg. It's a pretty heavily traveled route, and poor Jeremiah was found in a suitcase on the side of the road. During the homicide investigation, the case was certified to be a homicide due to the autopsy, but there was real no findings as to cause of death for Jeremiah. And I think this might hamper them going forward, and it may have hampered them since the discovery of the body. There's real no known cause of death, but they determined it a homicide because five-year-olds just don't keel over and die, you know, like 85-year-olds, 95-year-olds. So it was definitely homicide. The state police and the Fitchburg police have been very silent on what evidence they may have found in the suitcase or in the area. So that's really still a mystery. So shortly after indictment, the charges related to the homicide of Jeremiah Oliver were dropped. It was shocking. The whole Commonwealth was shocked, but charges were dropped against Alberta Sierra, the boyfriend, and Elsa, the mom. And the reason the district attorney gives is double jeopardy may attach if any of those other crimes that resulted in the death of Jeremiah, and they were convicted of those crimes, double jeopardy would be attached, meaning that they could not be tried for homicide. So at this point, all the charges related to the homicide of Jeremiah Oliver have dropped against both stepdad and Elsa, the mom. The shocking part about this case, guys, is that was in 2014. There have been no other murder charges filed against stepdad or Elsa at this point. Now, in 2017, Alberto Sierra, if you remember, he had been charged previously for abusing both Elsa and the kids. He ended up pleading guilty to that and going to wait to do his time. He was sentenced to serve 6 to 7 years in prison for all that abuse. So you cut that in half, that's probably 3 or 4 years to serve in Massachusetts. Elsa had something similar, and they just could never get either of these two people to flip on each other. So again, there's never been any homicide charges. Elsa ended up doing some time on it. I believe both of them are out. I've searched for both of them through the prison inmate locator for Massachusetts prisons, and I can't find them, so I'm assuming they've been released. That would be typical for Massachusetts. And as to those people that were arrested for intimidation of a witness, Christian Sierra, Kaylee Thibault, Ashley Cormier, they all had probation type sentences, maybe. Nobody ever went to jail over it, but they all had various types of probation. Believe me, for this crew, it's in and out of probation, in and out of local jail. It's not a big deal. The media, for the most part, and it's just a few years later, have seemingly forgot about this case. I haven't heard one update. I haven't heard anything from Worcester County DA Joe Early. It just seems to have vanished. It just seems like these jamokes committed the perfect homicide. And all they had to do was not report him missing for several months. And by the time the cops get on the case, they kind of just lawyer up. Maybe they point the finger at each other a little bit, but they're not really flipping over on each other. And all those goofballs who had been arrested and arraigned for intimidation of a witness, they're trying to help the adults. How come not one of these people could help this little boy and the rest of his siblings? It's just a classic case of abuse. And I'm sorry to say this happens all the time on the fringes of our society. There's people in and out of DCF counseling and DCF protection and all this stuff over and over again. And I believe this family's one of them. And we may never know who killed Jeremiah Oliver. I believe he was beaten likely every day of his life. Do we know who actually snuffed his life out on that day in September? Mom or Sierra? No, but they're both culpable. They beat him every day. They beat all their kids. I don't know how Mr. Sierra fared in prison. They typically say child abusers, child murderers don't do so well. I hope he suffered while he's in there, and I hope the Massachusetts State Police come back at this guy pretty quickly and put the cuffs on him. And he goes to the Susan Baranowski prison for the rest of his life. That's where he belongs. And I gotta tell you, I feel the same way about Mom. Mom really let this kid down. So Governor Deval Patrick was under fire, and the media wanted the termination of Olga Rochet, the head of DCF at the time. Governor Patrick simply refused to do it. He allowed her to resign, and it was kind of unconscionable, but he took a political beating over it. But this is Massachusetts, and he's a Democrat, so there's never any real worry about losing, right? About looking bad. The press will just cover up for you, and people will vote for you regardless. So in the governor's ultimate wisdom, he appointed a new head of DCF, and her name was Devaney. And she had no experience in protecting children. She had no real experience anywhere. She worked for the Department of Transportation. In Massachusetts newspapers, we call these people hacks. No real qualification. They just hold a sign at an intersection and they get a politically motivated job. And that's what happened here with Mrs. Devaney. Yes, Erin Devaney had no real experience in really anything. Her previous job to the one at the Department of Transportation was an aide to a local mayor. So now I guess she's qualified to run an agency that is in total disarray. And DCF in 2013-2014 had its worst year ever. In addition to Jeremiah Oliver passing away, DCF had two other high-profile cases which ended in the death of infants or toddlers. The first one was Aliana Levine, and the second one was Bailey Irish. In the Bailey Irish case, the excuse DCF had, the Grafton Police Department sent over a 51A to a fax machine. Yes, a fax machine. And they stated that they had misplaced the fax. By the time they got around to utilizing this fax, this emergency document, the child was dead. So it didn't really work out that well. So they had Aliana Levine, Bailey Irish, and Jeremiah Oliver all passing away. And Governor Deval Patrick thinks it's a good idea to install some rookie hack. And what Devaney's real job in this was to make it go away, get out of the press, get out of the headlines. And she did that. And I'm sure she had some money added to her pension somewhere along the line, because now there's a different supervisor of DCF, different head of DCF. And I don't remember her name, but this case was so Massachusetts, you'd have to just simply shake your head. And I say it's so Massachusetts because it has all the elements: incompetent bureaucracy, political motivations, and just general laziness by state employees. That's what this all boiled down to. Yes, I know they're underfunded. I know they need more leadership, but that's what this is. It's just another state bureaucracy, and it happens all the time. It still happens today. Don't forget, after these three cases, 2 years later, Bella Bond would be dead. She had involvement in DCF. I know it's virtually an impossible job, but they have to do better with at-risk kids. All right, guys, I wish I had more in terms of an update for you on this case. It seems to have just hit a brick wall. The media doesn't talk about it anymore. There's nothing new on it. If you look through this case, it all hits a wall when Alberto Sierra and Elsa end up going to prison. I believe they're both out now, but DCF is still a mess, and these two people are walking around free, and they killed that little boy, and it's just heart-wrenching. But I'm going to leave you there, guys, and I'm going to get on to the next one for you. Take care.